Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard, and I am bluer than sad. Joining me, as always, is the boys. He is mistier than gray, Gamma.
Hello.
And he is greener than cash, Sacro.
Why green?
Cash is green.
No, but why green for me?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, the smart idea would have been to call Gamma green because that's the color of his avatar. But I'm not looking
purple.
At either of... Yeah, I know, but like more purple than what? Also, purpler sounds wrong.
Purpler sounds great. What do you mean?
He is purpler than Jell-O. Sacro?
I've never had purple Jell-O, but I'll take it.
Is yep. there such a thing as purple Jell-O? Now I don't even know.
I mean, you can food color any Jell-O, but...
You could also say he's purpler than ube ice cream. There you go.
Ube ice cream, yeah.
Ooh, I like ube ice cream. Okay. Gamma's
ube
cooking.
Ube is delicious, man. Yeah, like, ube in anything is just super good.
I love
good.
Taro, too. Taro and ube are my favorite. Yes. Yeah, they're Gosh. So good.
We have, like, an ice cream, like a Korean ice cream spot here in the city called Somi Somi. And they do, like, the what they call the abung, which is basically, like you have, like, your ice cream with, like, a taiyaki on it. And the taiyaki has filling, you know, usually it's, like, Nutella or, like, the red bean paste. But, like, the flavors always include, like, ube and taro and just, like, you know... Asian things. Mm. And I'm just like, yeah. These are delicious. Oh my gosh. Like every single time I'm like, I need to get me like a taro ice cream with like a taiyaki with Nutella and like, I don't know, cocoa pebbles on it or something.
I do a lot of taro, what's it called? Bobas. Like pretty much not every week, but like a couple times a month I'll get a taro boba. It's
nice.
Pretty good.
No, that's pretty good. Pretty good.
And mochi donuts too.
I've never heard of mochi donuts.
You've never had a mochi donut? Dude, you got. There's definitely a place near you. Just look it up.
There has to be. My cat's name is Mochi.
You do have a cute cat.
Sometimes she curls up into a donut.
Oh, man. No, don't go that route.
Eat the cat. She's gotten really moody as of late because, you know, ever since we got the new puppy. And mm-hmm. I feel like there's a bunch of different factors to contribute here because, you know, firstly, we had her fixed. And before we had her fixed, she was super friendly, super sweet, the best cat in the universe. We had her fixed. And then afterwards, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, hey, listen, she can undo her sutures really easy. She could like tear open her wound and that's bad news. So you're going to need to kind of like isolate her. But the problem is that she's such a high energy cat that the only way we could do that is to basically like empty out a closet and then just basically like make it as comfortable as possible. Like, all right, Mochi, you're in the closet now and you're going to be for 2 weeks until you heal. Ooh. So imagine, you know, like, because she's the kind of cat that loves to climb on stuff, you know, like she likes to go up high. She likes to jump on the table, on counters and stuff. I'm like, okay, she is going to tear open those wounds so fast. So I was like, okay, so she's been fixed. She has, she's in a closet for 2 weeks. And like her best friend, which was my Rottweiler, died. So it's like she comes out of the closet. The Rottweiler's not there anymore. She was taken to a doctor and left there for a couple of hours, which she didn't like. And then she was isolated for 2 weeks. And then, like, about a couple of weeks later, we get a new puppy. And she's like, yeah, you know what? I'm unfriendly now. I'm unfriendly Mochi. I bite and I'm angry. And I'm like, okay.
Well. Yeah, isolating cats will lead to that. That's a big thing, actually. Cats have to be around things and people all the time. Or something.
I mean, like, we would go in there all the time. I mean, like, I would take my Nintendo Switch and go in the closet and just hang out with her, you know? So it's not like she was alone, but, you know, like, yeah, but, like, she she missed, like, 2 weeks of socialization with everything that she loves. So, yeah.
Well,
anyway.
She gets better.
Yeah, hopefully. But before we get started, please remember to follow us on our socials. You can find us at The Battle Phase on X. And also, you can find us on our YouTube channel, Gamers Playing Games TV, where recently we've decided that we're going to play every game on Steam. We've already played a few of them, videos pending. But also, Halloween is right now, so you should be this episode will probably air after Halloween, so you should be able to catch our Spooky Month episodes, which include our playthrough of what's the name of the one, Five Nights at Freddy's, which is gonna be so much fun. There's a special part towards the end of that one where something happens and me and Sacro think on our feet. Super fun. It was just like, I was very proud of that. I was like, this is great. I love this. But other than that, you guys got any other plugs you want to give?
Nothing now.
Well, I'm just editing a couple stories. I'm hoping to have one by Halloween since it's vampire related.
It's super excited to hear your stories when they come out. also super excited to hear like Sacro's upcoming content on the Pokemon leaks.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's gonna be wild. Yeah, I've got
that's gonna be a wild ride, dude.
I'm already regretting it, but it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. Mm-hmm.
So in case you guys can't tell from our opening introductions, today we're talking about Darker Than Black. It's an anime from like 2007, which debuted here in the States roughly around 2010, about 3 years later. And it is a trip, man. Like, because we've talked about this like off camera, but like this is an anime that you can't watch anywhere almost. It's unstreamable. So, you know, we got lucky that Sacro owned a copy. So we watched it with him. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. And I have thoughts on this, but before we get into that, we want to say spoiler alert for the entire plot of season one of Darker Than Black, an anime that came out in the neighborhood of like almost 20 years ago at this point. If you guys haven't seen it, I mean,
I'm probably going to talk about season two a little bit too.
And Sacred's going to talk about season two a little bit. So get on that. Go watch Darker Than Black. And if I can just say one thing to get you started, to see if I can whet you guys' appetite regarding Darker Than Black just a tiny bit, it's from one of the people who worked on Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
One of the storyboarders. Yeah, so he decided, hey, you know what? I want to make my own thing. And this was his brain baby. It's fantastic. His name specifically was Tensai Okamura. So, yeah. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but since this was Sacro's recommendation, Sacro, take it away.
All right. So Darker Than Black, there is no Japanese name. The guy just thought Darker Than Black sounded cool in the English. So he's like, that's really it. So that was really his name. That's his reason for calling it Darker Than Black. It has no purpose beyond he just thought these English words sounded cool together. So.
I don't know because I'm actually I'm wrong. I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. I was like, wait, there's a Japanese title here. And then I realized that the Japanese title is Daka Zanbraku. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. So it's just Darker Than Black. It does have a subtitle to it sometimes, but most of the time people just ignore that and just call it Darker Than Black. They separate into three different season generation names. So it's Darker Than Black. The first season, I think it's just called the Black Contractor.
Yeah.
Then there is Darker Than Black, Gaiden. And then there's Darker Than Black, the one with the meteor. I can't remember. Gemini of the Meteor. Yeah, that's what it is. And we're not going to talk about season two. I will talk about Gemini, or I'll talk about some stuff from it because there's some stuff that I thought was cool on a rewatch. But we're just going to talk about season one, The Black Contractor.
Did you watch like the whole thing over again for this episode, like all like
the
first season, the OVA and the season two?
I didn't read the manga that took place in between season one and the OVA, so I do not remember what happens in that or the characters, but I remember it being just as good as season one, but did not fix season two.
Okay.
that's all you need to know about it.
Righto. So basically, to start off the way that we normally do, by giving like a synopsis of the story, and then I'll throw it back to you. Darker Than Black takes place in modern day Japan, it seems. However, you'll have to remind me about this. Was it 10 years ago there was a cataclysm that occurred in the world?
Yeah. Well, 10 years from the start of the the actual show. So
right. So 10 years from the setting of this world, 10 years ago from the setting of this world, there was a two what they call gates that appeared, one in Japan and one in South America.
Yeah, it doesn't say right where exactly. Or maybe it does. So, I just don't remember.
Oh,
so Heaven's Gate, and you know what? We were talking about Brazil a little earlier.
It's Brazil for sure. Yeah,
it's Brazil. So Heaven's Gate in South America and Hell's Gate in Japan. At around the same time, humans with superpowers start to appear, called contractors. And contractors have a wide range of different things that they can do. And interestingly, their powers come with a cost. Whenever a contractor uses their power, they usually have to fulfill some manner of compulsion, which can be super, super simple, like, I don't know, drinking a glass of water, to really, really aggressive, such as breaking their own fingers, which I think that was the guy in episode one. And I was like, oh, my God, I would hate that power so much. But so contractors have those abilities. There are other types of superhumans in this. Like there's a subset called dolls. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that dolls don't have the same kind of power as contractors. They usually have a little bit of like more espionage type powers where they can watch you through different things like water and glass and stuff.
Yeah, that's all dolls.
Yeah. So and it is said that contractors have no emotions, that they're 100% strictly logical. And our story follows members of an organization known as the Syndicate. And they're basically, it almost feels like they're secret agents taking on jobs that deal with contractors and contractor-related things. How to put this? It's a very noir, very sci-fi heavy story, and it's really, really cool. So yeah, throwing it back to you, Sacro.
Yeah, so Darker Than Black is essentially, yeah, like you said, a noir story, kind of set in modern day, 2007. They saw flip phones there.
And, yeah, I know, right?
So like, there's an event that happens that brings these two gates together. That event is never explained in the entire series because it just doesn't need to be. You don't need to know why this happens exactly. It just does. There are a few inklings here about like things that happened around it that people think about, but yeah, this isn't really an explanation specifically. But when this happened, it created both dolls and contractors, as you said. And then it led to a bunch of mini wars, the Heaven's Gate Wars, that took place in near Heaven's Gate in South America, which is mostly in Brazil, so we're right.
Mostly in Brazil, yay!
Yeah, I had to look it up, but it says it's mostly in Brazil, and it was mostly fought with members from Great Britain and Argentina. So
right, something that I noticed like pretty early on is it feels like almost like whenever somebody comes out as a contractor, they're absorbed into some kind of like organization.
They are. Like, I think they're scouted, but I'm not sure how that works exactly. But a lot of big organizations like the FBI, CIA, MI6, new ones they make up, all want these contractors because they have no emotions. So they don't mind doing the dirty work of killing people.
Right.
So, like, but the thing is about the contractors and not having emotions is it's not exactly true.
I've noticed.
Every person holds on to a piece of their humanity from when they were human, it feels like. Something they were connected to. They still hold on to that. And in some cases, not all, this affects their price, which we haven't talked about yet either, I don't think. No, we did a little bit. Yeah, you did mention it.
Yeah, we mentioned the price a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so the first episode kind of goes into like prices and how that works. So essentially, when you become a contractor, you also have a price, and in order to use your power, you have to use your price. It's a deliberate interpretation of power and price concepts.
You have all this power, but at what cost?
Yeah, and
yeah, which the guy that smokes cigarettes, I was like, well, lung cancer, I guess, like eventually.
Yeah, it's not worse than the girl who killed her own daughter with cigarettes, and now she has to eat them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, yes. I don't remember how her daughter died, but it had something to do with cigarettes. Maybe she smoked around her too much.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'll find her in a second. Well,
I remember which lady you're talking about. She was the heavyset lady.
She was an opera singer.
Yeah, she was an opera singer.
She works for Russian intelligence, it says.
Right.
Let's see.
Without even fully going there.
Yeah. I'm skipping ahead quite a bit too. But she ended up, her daughter died because she took some tobacco from the table and stuffed it in her mouth and she choked on it.
Oh, gross.
So like she died.
Chewing tobacco?
It says just says tobacco. It doesn't say what kind of tobacco.
Well, I imagine that if you ate like chewing tobacco, you could choke on it. Plus, I imagine that if you swallow it, it's toxic. Mm.
Yeah, it doesn't say when she became a contractor either, but sometime after this event. And so she feels like she's haunted by her past, where she, this story goes into a lot. So the story is actually told in parts. So each episode has a two-parter, or each story element has a two-parter. In the first season, we meet Hay, who's our main character. He's the main character of the entire series, but he's like the main guy in seasons one and two. Or an episode one and two, but he goes under a different name, which is Li Shengshun, a Chinese exchange student who's going to school in Japan. But he's actually like this contract killer.
It's something that I really, really enjoyed about Darker Than Black is that it takes place in Japan, but it feels like this is like a worldwide thing. Because, you know, like we, like you mentioned, we have people from the FBI, from MI6 everywhere, you know? Mm-hmm. And the gates aren't just in Japan. You know, like some anime is like, oh, big important thing happened, but it only happened in Japan. Whereas this was like, oh, no, there's one in South America. So I was like, okay, like, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know why they chose specifically South America. I think they wanted a jungle theme for like the war going on there. That's why they chose South America.
Makes sense. Okay.
And so Hay got his start there, actually. He fought there with his sister, Bai.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hay and Bai. And I don't want to get into that part yet. We'll come to that later. But essentially, he earned a name there and became known as the Black Reaper.
The Black Reaper.
Because he was so efficient at killing people, which is the exact opposite of who he is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was actually a kind older brother taking care of his little sister because their parents, something happened to their parents, never says. And then he only joins on and agrees to kill people because she has to, because she's a contractor.
You know, so for the longest time,
he was like a doll for his sister.
Kind of, but dolls don't always work with contractors.
Right.
But the
thing that got me is that, you know, like for the longest time, and if it hadn't been from the fact that we see Hay use his powers right from the jump in episode one, I would have thought that he was just pretending to be a contractor because he always seemed to be too emotional, too kind, you know what I mean?
And
like all of that, contrary to like everything that you've heard about like contractors up to this point. So I'm like, he doesn't seem like he's detached from the killing that he does. It feels like he's quite the opposite, in fact. So like for the longest time I thought to myself, the electricity is coming from that knife he uses or from like the wires that are attached to the knives. I'm like, there's no way that he himself is a contractor.
Yeah, the first episode kind of sets up too, where he meets a girl that he's supposed to track as part of the syndicate mission because she has knowledge about something I can't remember off the top of my head for some reason.
Actually, that escapes me too. I remember that she had knowledge of something, but like, yeah, I don't remember
so
what.
There are multiple groups looking for her, and he finds her and he basically becomes her friend through his Lee persona.
Mm-hmm.
Because he keeps just popping up whenever she needs him, and I guess she didn't find that weird. But by the end of the episode, you find out that she's a doll.
Ooh, right.
The real version of her is dead already.
Yeah, she had already died. They had just like implanted her memories into the doll.
Uh-huh. As a way of, I can't remember what the reason was for like who they're trying to pull out. Were they trying to pull Hay out? I can't remember what the exact reason why they made her into a doll, like what it was supposed to be. But she ends up actually, even as a doll, retaining some of the memories of the girl she was supposed to be. And she ends up she kills herself, basically, saving Hay. Because even though Hay knew already that she was a doll, he still was willing to protect her.
Right.
And yeah. And then Hay, that's when you kind of find out that like Hay is a contractor, but he's also clearly an emotional and empathetic person.
Which contradicts it.
Right.
Yeah, it's a huge contradiction. Yeah, but it's kind of a foreshadowing because, I mean, we'll get into the end of the series stuff later when we go into real spoilers, but I do want to talk about what I thought about the show before I just talk about the entire show. So I watched the show when I was 19. Fresh out of high school. Just got back into anime because I was dating a girl in high school who hated anime, so like I couldn't watch it around her or anything, so I just ended up not watching it because I spent a lot of time with her. So I just never got back. I never really watched anime. I watched it when I was in middle school. High school, stopped watching it. Watched it again once I entered my first year of college. And this was the first show that I ended up accidentally finding on Funimation while I was scrolling through there after I watched K-On. So what a jump. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, dude, nothing alike.
this show, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and K-On! Were hugely influential on how I became a person in my early 20s. Which is very weird to pick these three specific stories because I didn't watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer growing up because my mom hated the melodramatic parts of it later on. So she didn't watch it. So I had no one else who watched it around me.
This is going to get clipped right here. Like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, K-On! And Darker Than Black. I'm like, whoa,
with their powers, what a cocktail of a human.
And creepypastas. Those four things were what I kind of discovered around that time period, even though they'd already existed before then, because all these are old.
Mm-hmm.
Buffy was in 97.
Yeah.
Like K-On! Existed 2 years before, 4 years before I even watched it. And then Darker Than Black had been already done years and years and years before.
But now, since you're talking about Buffy, are you Team Spike or Team Angel?
Angel.
Yes. Yes.
No, I was Team Spike, to be honest, but like that's...
Boo!
I mean, there's a specific point about Spike that made me dislike him. That happened in season 6.
I imagine so. Yeah, but what was I going to say is, like, you know, the thing is, Spanish was my first language, so whenever I first saw Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I thought that it was pronounced like Luffy. It was Boofy the Vampire Slayer.
You know what? I get that, actually.
Right. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, this show is just hugely influential on me. As a writer, too, because I started writing again at 18, like full on. Because I wrote in high school a little bit, but took like 2-3 years to focus on my music stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, I want to be a writer again. I just want to write things. I want to make stories.
There's the K-On! Influence again, you know, music.
Yeah. It's weird because I really liked, I played guitar for like 6 years before I put it down to write stories because I was always more into storytelling than music. But my dad and my friends were all super into making music, so I learned how to play music with them. I still like guitar, but it's just not the same. It's more of a fun hobby. No, I don't write songs anymore.
I'll teach myself how to like play guitar. One day I'll teach myself.
I could show you some basics. I used to teach kids how to play.
Oh,
hey, I have the mentality of a kid. Let's go.
Look at that.
It just means I know how to teach at the lowest level.
You're teaching Sacred how to draw, voice act, and he's going to teach you how to play guitar. Sweet deal right there.
Hey, yeah. Like, you know, like it'll be like a wonderful like this learning circle. This is a
trading
circle.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was very influential on me. I became my favorite anime very quickly. Season 2 didn't ruin it for me initially. I was like, oh, it kind of sucks, but it was, you know, the ending was like incredibly divisive to a lot of people, but I thought it was interesting in a way. And on a rewatch, I was like, actually, this makes perfect sense for the plot they were laying down at the end of season 1 and into Gaiden and the manga, which I don't remember too much about, but it was in there still. And yeah, it just became my favorite. It was had good music. I had the ending theme on my playlist for years for season 1. It was just so good.
Nice.
And
it was really good. I will say that.
Hey, it was my first cosplay ever. I don't have the stuff for it. I don't have the pictures either. So. Sorry. Then Sasuke became my second one.
Ooh.
We all remember our first cosplay. Gamma, what was your first cosplay?
It was one of the guys from... Crap, I even forgot the name of the show. But it's one of the bad guys that is supposedly related to the guy that betrayed Jesus. What was his name again?
Judas?
Yeah, to Judas. Oh, they're the Judas. Judas guys. And they have like crosses on their foreheads. One of them got four crosses. About
Judas Priest?
Oh, D-Gray-Man.
Yep, that one.
The Noah clan.
Exactly, there you go.
I forgot about D-Gray-Man. I did not like D-Gray-Man.
When he said the crosses on their forehead, I was like, oh, D-Gray-Man. D-Gray-Man was really, really good at first. dude, it got like so, so dark.
Oh, as it, went. It got so just... dark on the manga. Oh, man.
Yeah, no, and I know the manga. So, like, the thing is, I'm like, I want to keep watching this, man, but like, my heart can't take all this suffering.
I didn't like what I watched, actually. I dropped it, sadly.
Yeah, my first cosplay, by the way, was Ichigo Kurosaki. Anyway, ooh, carrying on.
I don't know. Good show. Great stuff. My first ever ship, also. Hey, and Yen. Good stuff.
Oh, gosh, I can't even see that, you know, because, like, Yen is, you know, like, they say the contractors are supposed to be, like, you know, purely 100% logical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Yen is, like, absolutely devoid of emotions. Like, she has them, you know, like, I imagine, but, like, they're really, really muted, you know what I mean?
Well, Yen doesn't or shouldn't. She's a doll. Her entire personality right. got wiped as if you're wiping a hard drive, and then she got reprogrammed with what she knows. The thing is, Yen is not like other dolls. She's special, kind of like Hei is. And that's the reason she was picked to be with Hei, because they wanted to form this season two stuff. They wanted them to be friends for other reasons, and then she ends up falling for him, which we find out by the end of season one. But every girl was in love with Yen, or Hei, so that's just how it was. He had those killer collarbones.
I was going to say, Hei is a handsome guy. What can I say?
Yeah, everybody's attracted to him, but he actually has feelings for Yen, which you find out later on in the season between seasons one and two. But I want to hear what you guys think about the show before I get more into like the story stuff.
I actually want to go last. So Gamma, if you want to go next.
I be done school boys howling.
No.
That's one of the intros for Darker Than Black, and that's one of the things that I just like listening from time to time. It's pretty cool.
Out of curiosity, who sings that theme song, do you know?
Abaddon Schoolboys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, funny story, my wife has had that song on her playlist, and she's like, I know this song, and then, my wife's best friend has had it on her playlist for years, never seen the anime.
Oh, man.
So like, I heard she played it in the car when we were driving to the anime convention. And I'm like, oh, hey, it's blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, you know this song? I'm like, yeah, I didn't know you watched Darker Than Black. She's like, what's Darker Than Black? And then I had to explain to her. I had to explain to both of them while we were driving. And they're like, what? I never even heard of this show. Like, I'm like, you can't find it anymore. It's gone. Yeah. Anyways, go back to what you're saying, Gamma.
Carry on, Gamma.
Yeah, the first thing that caught my attention was the song, then the series being about Hei and Yen. That's just the way that they got that whole thing going on. Even though he's a contractor, but he still seems like he got feelings. And just like Sakura mentioned, things get told later on why. And I don't want to give too many spoilers about the why, because I want Sacred to say the why.
Okay.
Thank you.
He's fair. Quite efficient as well whenever he does his jobs. And every contractor that he faces, they sort of got a tragic story up to some point, if I recall.
A little bit.
Which makes you go like, okay, if they lost feelings, that's a good thing that they lost those feelings, because that will break them as a human. Especially that lady that you mentioned, that Shuzu Tobacco.
She was going to kill herself before she became a contractor, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, man. That's so
dumb. So, yeah, it's really sad.
And it matches the series. Unlike Sakura, where she saw the whole thing, I only seen season one and season 2 years ago. I could have gotten a refresher because our friend here, Sakura, he gave us all a link and say, hey, watch it. And I'm like, that's going to be quite a journey.
Oh, we watched it legally.
Legally.
It's legally that he has it.
It's legally.
But he gave us a way to watch it. Legally.
I like sharing.
Yes, and we're grateful for that. I like to share.
Thank you, Discord.
And if you want to watch Darker Than Black right now, legally, it will cost you 250 buckaroos on Amazon.
Yeah.
For only season one.
You can buy it to stream on YouTube, I'm pretty sure.
No, you can't.
You can't?
Okay, yep.
Nope. I thought I saw that earlier while I was looking for... Yeah,
season 2 was streamable on... or buyable on only Amazon a couple years ago. Just season 2, nothing else. And everyone's like, well, I don't want season 2. Like, why would I want just season 2? So they removed that, too. So it's gone now as well.
Doesn't make any sense. You know, like, here's season 2 of this. It would be like, you know, imagine... especially because it's so short, right? Like season 1, season 2, you kind of need one to understand the other. Mm-hmm. I just got to keep thinking, like, imagine if like Amazon or whatever was just like, you can stream season 9 of Supernatural, but only that one.
I mean, that's what they did with SpongeBob. You can only stream up to a certain season, and then it's like, you can't stream the rest of these.
It's different when it's episodic, though, you know what I mean?
It's true, but you want to watch the early seasons anyways.
Right, right. That had the best humor.
Yeah, so there's actually 26 episodes in the first season. I should mention that, which is different. Or sorry, 25. There's one of them's an OVA that doesn't count. Oops. Right. And then there's only 13 seasons in season or 13 episodes in season 2.
So a whopping 25 for season 1. That's a good buy if it was $20 and back in the day for just a season 1.
I
could have bought it for $20. I feel so bad because I'm like, oh, it's gonna stream forever. Don't worry about it. Huh.
It also feels like anime is kind of going down the path where, like, you know, 12 episodes is the norm.
Yeah,
that's I remember what I'm back in the day when, like, dude, like for example, it'd be like, oh yeah, man, we're gonna have like 30 episodes this season or like 45. You know, like a Digimon was just like it was like what 54 episodes. I was like, God damn!
We were spoiled.
Ghost Game is 68 episodes, and that was one season. And I was like, darn. That thing is long.
Mm-hmm. I miss those tapes.
Anyway, continue, Gamma.
Well, that was pretty much it. Like the action is amazing. The action and the choreography is just amazing. How our main protagonist Hei has to think on his shoes of how to kill people, but as Seiko already established and you established as well, he's a very, very efficient assassin.
Yep.
Correct.
Which, okay, if so you think about him, you could also think of him as Sam Fisher, but with superpowers.
Sam Fisher with superpowers? That's not what I was thinking.
Yeah, caught y'all off guard right there.
That sentence he said.
You know, I'll roll with that. Yeah, there's a Reddit for the things that you just said. Today, a brand new sentence has been born. Thank you.
All right, and now I'm going to grab this hot potato and toss it at our lovely bard. Take it from here.
Thank you. All right, so as my dad said whenever he was first going to drop us off at summer camp with the dubious intention of ever picking us up, buckle up, buttercups, here we go. I'm kidding, my dad's a good man. Anyway... I have thoughts about Darker Than Black, and, you know, like, as I was watching it, a couple of things just kind of, like, sprung to mind. I was like, I know this art style. Like the art style to me, I was like, the character design looks very familiar. Secondly, I couldn't place my finger on what it was, but something about this anime just felt like something I had seen before. I was like, I don't know, man. This is like... running into a person that you've met before in a dream or somebody that you were briefly introduced to in the past and they changed, like they grew a beard or something. And so like now you don't exactly recognize them, but you could swear you've seen them somewhere. And so as I'm watching it, I was like, man, just the vibes of this show feel like something I've seen before. So I went and I did my research, and it turns out that like a guy who was a storyboarder on Cowboy Bebop and Wolf's Rain, this is his brainchild. And I was like, all of it makes sense because the art style looks very Wolf's Rain to me, and the action sequences are so very Cowboy Bebop, The writing and the noir and everything. I'm like, this is just like a culmination of everything that this guy has done in the past. This is what it feels like. Full disclosure, I wasn't the biggest fan of Cowboy Bebop. And it's for reasons that I feel like carry over into Darker Than Black. And that's that the story is a little difficult to follow. It sometimes feels like it's a very episodic. This is just the monster or the contractor of the week that we're dealing with. And that's really about the extent of it. Like, so there's lore in the world, it feels, but the lore isn't ever like explicitly given. You almost have to kind of like start connecting dots to see if you can kind of like make sense of what's going on. They kept mentioning, as I've said before, that contractors are logical and non-emotional. And I kept seeing Hay be kind of like emotional at times. And I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, so there's a story here, I feel. And it's just not being outright spoken. There's mention of how the stars in the sky aren't really the stars that used to be there before. And I don't know if I missed it, but like at some point while doing research on this, just to kind of like get a better understanding of what the story was about, I come to find out that the stars that we are familiar with when we look up at the sky disappeared the moment that Heaven and Hell's Gate showed up on Earth. And now every star in the sky represents the life of a contractor. And when they die, their star disappears, which... This was so confusing to me, especially because we have an episode later where they're actually like cataloging stars. So they're keeping track of them. And I kept wondering to myself, I'm like, well, what's the purpose? I don't understand. And so like this is something that like later on as I was doing research, I was like, oh, I see now. So like it's kind of one of those situations where like you feel like the show has like all of this lore in it. But it's almost like a Souls game. They're not going to hand it to you. You kind of have to, like, dig a little bit to kind of, like, get it. That said, I felt like it was a lot easier to follow than Cowboy Bebop. In Cowboy Bebop, all I got was, like, they, as a matter of fact, they also had a syndicate. So
it's a really easy Cowboy word Bebop, to use.
Yeah.
It sounds
Cowboy
cool.
Cowboy Bebop, he used to be a gangster, I guess, and then at some point he had a falling out with his gang buddies and he went to live with a homie and a spaceship, and now they're bounty hunters, I suppose.
It's a great concept, though.
Yeah, so like this is kind of like the thing that I'm talking about. I'm like, so like I feel like there's story between the lines that doesn't get said. And mind you, sometimes this is beautiful. Because like whenever there's story between the lines, but it doesn't get said, you can infer a lot just like from watching the way that the characters behave, watching what they react to, watching how they interact with people and stuff like that. And I felt like in Cowboy Bebop, that didn't feel to me like it was there. Or if it was, it was like super subtle, right? And it was just kind of like, I'm not feeling it. But in Darker Than Black, I could feel it a lot. So it was like, okay, so there is a story between the lines, and I feel like if I pay close enough attention or like if I listen to what's being said and not being said in certain conversations, I feel like I can kind of like piece two and two together and kind of like start figuring out what happened here. One of the things that I hoped would eventually get told to us is like, where did the gates come from? And that just never happened.
It doesn't happen in season two either, or any of the excessive materials. But
fantastic.
It is very important for the reformation of something that I'll talk about later.
Right. So ultimately, it was almost like I'm watching because I want to figure out what's happening. And that's kind of, again, coming back to the beauty of it. Because when you don't give all the details, sometimes you're going to lose some people. But sometimes as a watcher, you're going to want to know what they're not telling you, and you'll start paying more attention, which is kind of what happened to me. So I was like, okay, I didn't vibe with Cowboy Bebop, but I'm vibing super hard with Darker Than Black because I'm like, I want to know what happened in this world. And the thing is, it feels very sci-fi, but all of it also feels super metaphysical. So I'm like, it's weirdness happening here, and I need to know why. Additionally, I like how the show is, and this carries over from Cowboy Bebop too. Wolf's Rain didn't have this. Almost, I mean, it was a more serious one, but like Cowboy Bebop and Darker Than Black kind of have like this thing where they're like, one episode we could be super dramatic. The world sucks. Life is hard and people make difficult choices. Sometimes they don't do the right thing. But every now and then you'll have an episode which is just off the wall, the most insane thing you've ever seen. And I'm like, I love that they can do this and it doesn't feel like it's in a different universe, because some anime try to do this where they're like, we're a serious anime, but now we're gonna have a fun episode, and the fun episode feels so disjointed, right? But Darker Than Black never got so out there that it felt like it didn't, like it wasn't something that could feasibly happen.
Did you watch the fan fiction episode?
I don't remember the fan fiction episode. Was that in season one?
It's the last episode of season one, technically, but it's an OVA as well, but it's still considered part of the season. It's the girl, she's one of the girls who works at the police department, I think. Mm-hmm. But she's writing a fan fiction about Hay because he saves her one day. And she writes about his collarbones and how he has the most perfect collarbones.
Oh, that explains the joke that you
I said earlier about the collarbones. Yeah. It's a very funny episode. Very fun.
Right. And you know, like the episodes that I was thinking about specifically is the detective and his assistant.
Oh, that's a great episode. Or two episodes.
Oh, yeah, because it's two episodes, because it's like, I think he actually comes back for another two later, but like
he does, looking for
this was like the widow who, like, I don't know, she wanted something from like her husband's ex, but the husband's ex had been dead for 6 months and she knew she was just, you know, not like bringing it up or something.
Yeah, her cat went missing, and she was she said that she stole the cat, but really she just wanted somebody to find the body, and she didn't want it to be herself.
And so she hired this detective, and the detective was just like one of the, like, in a noir setting, he's almost like comedy. He's like so fantastically inept, but at the same time, he's a good detective. He's just like bad at this, right?
He's so bad.
Yeah, so it's just so funny, and the fact that his assistant is just like, it almost feels like she took this job because it was a way to make money so that she could fund her cosplay career.
Yeah, it's so funny because cosplaying was super taking off at the time, and she's just the perfect like cosplay character. She's also voiced by Brittany Karbowski, which I don't think either of you guys would know by name, but she's one of my favorite voice actors for a long time. She plays the railgun girl in Railgun.
Mm. Yeah. A certain magical railgun?
Yeah, a certain scientific railgun.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's her spinoff. Scientific. We got to watch that show sometime, too.
Okay.
Sorry, it's one of my favorites.
Continue, though. Want to do one season on that?
There's like 15 seasons or whatever, so yeah, just pick one.
I'll do one season.
I'm just going to like winding up to an end here. But like, yeah, so that's basically my experience with Darker Than Black. I feel like it's solid sci-fi. It's got excellent action. I'm like, and I'm looking at it through a lens of like the early 2000s. I was like, oh, man, like back then, this action like set piece would have fucked. I'm like, this is so good. Though.
It was so good.
Right. I'm like, these days, I feel like we've advanced to a point where I'm like, action set pieces kind of demand a lot. But I'm like, this right here as a classic still holds up, which says a lot. And also the music. I'm like, even the music sounds familiar. Come to find out that Yoko Kanno, who did the music for Cowboy Bebop, also did the music for this. So I was like, oh, okay. So like, this is just like the all-star team from different animations that were popular at the time, stepping out to like make their brain babies become a reality, and I'm like, I'm here for it. Also, as it turns out, like in an interview, it was asked of the guy, what is his name again? I just forgot what the author's name was. Hold on just a second.
Tensai Okamura.
Tensai
Okamura. They asked him what his inspiration was for Darker Than Black, and he's like, I like ninja manga. I like superheroes. I like mystery thrillers, and he just did all of them, and I'm like, okay.
Someone asked me things I like. I like everything.
It's wonderful, but like I like the characters too. Like I personally thought that that Hay was really complicated. I felt like he was always saying one thing, but like not really telling you the truth. And as a lead in a noir, I'm like, that's fantastic. I fucking love that. I thought that Yin was like just a really, really cute design for this character. And I fucking love Mao. The fact that he's basically like Tobias from Animorphs. Where it's like, oh yeah, my power allows me to shift bodies. But like, and now I'm stuck as a cat. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, because his body died.
Because his body died, so he couldn't transfer back. I was like, oh, that's gotta suck.
And he can't go back into any other human, so he's stuck as a animal form forever. And he chose a cat because cats are cute, I guess. I don't know why he chose cats, actually.
Yeah, and also, well, the Syndicate also has him on like a thing, right? Where like he can't, like his animal brain's always trying to take over.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That was a cool concept, actually.
It was a cool concept. I actually really liked that. It came in clutch at the end of the series, too.
Yeah, but at the end of season two, he becomes a different animal entirely. I can't remember which one it is.
Mm.
He like transforms into like a bird or something, and then he's like, no, it's... This season two ending is so dumb in that part. I just remembered. Dude, America invades Japan, and like Mao... The girl detective whose name I can't remember right now because she was so boring.
She had one good episode. Two
good episodes. It's the same.
Yeah, so two good episodes, yes.
With
her friend, yes.
And also, okay, so this is something that has just boggled my mind since I watched the series. The girl in episode one looks the exact same as the girl who runs the doll thing.
Oh no!
Very true.
They're the exact same design.
Literally just now. Holy cow!
I was rewatching and I'm like, wait, that's the same girl from this first episode. Wait, no, it's not. So I looked it up and like, yeah, they just look the same, but there's no connection between them. They're not sisters. No relation. He just loved the design of the first girl and was like, crap, I killed her. Let's reuse it for this girl, who, by the way, I loved. She was a great character.
Recycle.
Yeah, it was fine for this one case because she was in
recycling is the Hiromashima method, which like I hate to give him trash because, you know, like arguably Rave Master is the reason that I got super into like anime, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but Hiromashima, like he's been called out because a lot of his characters just kind of look the same. Usually like the main girl in like Rave Master, Fairy Tail, Eden Zero, exactly the same.
Yeah, it's just Lucy three times.
Yeah, and he's just like, the way that he said it is like, oh, you got to think of characters like actors. You just put them in different clothes and they're acting in a different way. I'm like, no. I was like, dude, you just told us you can't draw different characters.
Yeah, that's a big thing with in Japan, too. There are people who want to make character designs as actors and then reuse those character designs across different anime. Some guy tried to make a character design that everyone loved. It fell through, but he was trying to make that character into an actress. But yeah. Yeah, everyone wants to make their own characters, apparently. Yeah, it came out in like mid-2000s that it was happening. Okay. I'll look for the phenomena for you. It's like it was a fleeting moment.
It's a legit thing.
Almost a thing.
I was going to tell you, the detective that you're thinking about was Misaki.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm glad you guys liked the series though. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. No, we did. You were actually in the middle of a thought, and I can't remember what it was.
I was super in the middle of a thought, and I can't remember what it was either. So I'm going to lead with a question that I had prepared for you guys.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay, two questions, actually. Not about they're about the show, but they're not. They're about you guys as people.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so first off, what was your favorite contract, like ability in the show? Besides Hayes, you can't pick it.
That's quite a handicap right there.
I know, because I'm like, that one was the coolest one.
There's some that I think are super cool.
I will say the guy that smokes cigarettes.
What was his ability to smoke cigarettes?
Which character are you talking about?
Which character are you
talking
about?
There are multiple. There's a ton of characters who smoke cigarettes. It's the noir anime.
I think it was the detective. He appeared on season one, though.
Detective that smokes isn't the...
And he always escape his grasp, too.
I don't know who you're talking about, actually. The detective in season one, the funny detective, is not a contractor.
He didn't have any powers.
Are you thinking of November 11, the guy from... He's the one who appears throughout the entire show until he dies later.
Right. Well, I didn't know he died. Thank you.
He dies later, yeah. Actually, hold on. Does he die? No, yeah, he dies. Yeah, he's the one with smoking powers that you're talking about, by the way.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, his ability is ice creation. He can make ice out of water.
Like, right? Sub-Zero.
If,
I think it's his car, right? Hold on. I don't actually remember.
I remember that. Like, yeah, I remember him like touching the ground and like icing up or something.
Yeah, and the other girl can make storms or something, or she makes wind and stuff happen. So they're together, they're perfect.
Yeah.
Because she makes like, water and he freezes
cool
water.
When she blows.
She does kind of blow. I just did not care for her as a character.
Yeah, I mean, like,
she's fine.
So, like, here's the thing: a lot of the characters that, like, you know, weren't like the characters that were auxiliary, kind of like would show up, and you wouldn't get to know them that well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if this had been like a longer running series, like 4 or 5 seasons, we probably would have gotten some good character moments with those guys. But MI6, by and large, I'm like, I like the look of April. You know, like, I think November 11 is super cool, but, like, other than that, I'm like, ask me anything about them. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. There's, so, okay. So, we got one for Gamma. What are you thinking, Bard?
There was a guy, and this is in the episode with the detective and her friend. I think the friend had a butler. If I remember, his name was, like, Wei or something. But he, like, could teleport things, like, I guess, like, I remember specifically him teleporting the meat out of a guy's torso at some point.
Ooh. No, that's not what he's doing. He blows up his own blood on anything it touches.
Oh,
so he cuts himself, throws his blood on people, and then it like explodes or removes all of it. So he puts holes in people and things.
That's some Junji Ito stuff right there.
Yeah.
I was like, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was one of the contractor powers that when I saw it, I was like, okay, that's fucking horrifying. Like, that guy left an impression on me. Like, I remembered that guy, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm trying to remember how November 11 died. It's on his page. Anyways, okay, those are cool powers. I like this guy doesn't even have a name. You know the guy who has like a whip that's invisible that he can cut people in half with in like the first or second episode?
Oh, yes.
I like that guy. I don't know what his name is, but he has to flip the corner on every page in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't read the book. He has to fold the corner. He has to bunny ear every page in a book, which is honestly not that bad of a price.
Yeah. Okay.
Next question. If you had to
something like just a little bit of a tangent, but do you guys remember like Witch Hunter Robin?
I know the name, but I don't.
Yeah, so this was like man, 2000s anime, probably aired around the same time as Darker Than Black, to be honest. But it was like it ran on like Adult Swim for a while, and it was about witches, right? Like, but it almost like I swear the vibe is so similar that now I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that this guy also worked on that. But the idea is, you know, like they have an organization that hunts down evil witches. And in the first episode, the dumbest power, this guy basically like sits, he's just sitting on the floor and he's being surrounded by the good guys and he controls sand sigils on the floor. So whenever somebody steps on it, he can like swipe his hand and then like now the floor kind of like slips underneath them. So they just fall. And I remember this was such a stupid power that Adult Swim made like a stinger, you know, like how they had like those little stinger cards in between like commercials where they'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But like the stinger was basically like, hey, what's the worst power you've ever seen in anime? Our pick? The guy from first episode of Witch Hunter Robin, he trips people.
That's a great power, though.
It could be a great power if it's used annoying on people.
Annoying people is so fun. Like, as a power, anyway. I mean, maybe not. But, so apparently he dies in the finale of season one.
Did I miss that? When did that happen?
It's a scene where he kills the people he worked for because they're like, well, we're trying to kill all contractors.
Oh,
and so he ends up killing them. And then he's like, got hurt during it, decides not to follow through with his smoking and just dies in the streets outside of the building. Which is honestly a pretty metal way to go out.
I didn't remember him dying. How?
It's episode 23 of season one.
I missed it. Like, I was like, I feel like I saw that, but I'm like, did he die though? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, that's when he dies, apparently. I forgot that too. I just knew he died. I just remember when.
Hooray.
Memory hold.
Yeah. He dies.
Anyway, next question.
And she thinks that Hay killed him. Misaki does. because she sees him looking, because he went to go visit, go give him a visit or like check on him or something.
Right.
And he's like, oh, he's dead. And she's like, oh, you killed him. He's like, nope, that wasn't me. But I mean, he doesn't tell her that. He just leaves. And then she asks if he's hungry. I don't remember that part either. Sorry, I'm rereading the synopsis. I just watched this, but I don't remember most of... I remember him dying. I just, anyways, based on your personalities and like... So a lot of the... A lot of the payments seem to be based on some sort of issue they had in their normal lives. Like something that, that played a role in them somehow in their personalities. What do you guys think... This might be a tough question, but what do you think your guys' payments would be if you had to... do something. If you wanted a power, like, what would your payment be, you think?
Depression.
I don't want to say.
That's not really a payment, Gamma. It's something you have to do in some way to get the powers. So, like...
It's an excellent question, but I'm like over here looking at my manga collection. I was like, I don't want to talk about this.
What if... Okay, so yours finally, might be burning a new manga.
It's time for you to say, hey, I'm a furry. It's okay.
You have to tell people you're a furry. That's your payment.
Honestly, like here's the thing. I have like these compulsions that I do, like and that just occurred to me that it's kind of like a thing that I do to psych myself up. So a lot of the times, you guys remember like the Edward Elric clap that he would do whenever he was about to do alchemy.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I do that sometimes.
I do that to psych myself up.
You know? Like, I do that sometimes too.
So I would like do the Edward Elric clap. Sometimes, I mean, like, and this is just me because, you know, like since we're getting a little personal on this, it is kind of like a thing where I'm like, you know, back in the day, I didn't have as much confidence as I have now, right? And it's kind of like something that you kind of grow into. And some people never grow into it. Like I have relatives who struggle with the same level of like self-doubt that I struggled with when I was younger. And ultimately, I kind of like it came to a point where I'm like, I don't want to always be doubting myself. So sometimes whenever like just randomly, you know, like I just have like these words of affirmation that I repeat. And depending on the situation, you know, but like, I don't know, like sometimes I'll be driving and I'll be like, I want to be a good person.
Hold on.
I want to be a good person.
No. Like,
you want to be?
You're going to a territory that I'm going to say, and you're going to go like, darn, Gamma caught on real quick. You made us watch Kaguya-sama Love is War. Uh-huh. And there's a character that needs to be reaffirmed that she's a good person and that she's doing great. Is that you right there?
Yes. I'm Eno? No, because I don't let others reaffirm me. I do it to myself, you know? So, like, I'm constantly like, you know what? You are trying.
And so
like,
you record yourself saying that and listen to it. I want to
be a good person or, like, you know what? The one that's most common, like, because, you know, like, since I'm constantly, like, I feel like I'm always taking on so much, the most common one is never surrender. Like, that one just kind of, like, comes out, you know? Like, so it started as kind of like an affirmation thing to get myself in the mindset of, like, let's do the thing. But now it's just almost like a compulsion. It just happens when I'm sitting by myself. So, yeah.
Hey, man, that means, what is it? Affirmation therapy works?
Yeah, it's cognitive restructuring is what my therapist called it, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's a therapist that did it, then.
No, he didn't do it. I did it. And then later on, you know, like a little bit of a personal story, but a friend of mine died and I took it really hard. So I went to therapy for it. And I explained to him how I tried to get through difficult times. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's cognitive restructuring. Like, did you read that in a book? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, that's what you're doing. And I was like, okay.
Well, that's useful. I'd never really, I should probably do that, honestly. I told the Navy I needed a therapy or a therapist, and they're like, okay, cool. And they sent me in once, and I said, okay, I want to come in monthly. And then they never booked me again.
Oh,
so they're like, you know what? He came in once, and he was okay, right? And so they just never sent me back. Like, that's bro, I got things to work on. Let me go back. It's free.
Yeah.
I paid for this with my blood.
That's the thing with the military. They
like literally with your blood. Holy blood, cow.
Sweat, and tears, bro. Put me back in.
When I was being.
I'm not done yet, coach.
when I was doing my stuff to get out of the military, they sent me for the mental check. You know how they do the whole therapy thing? And they tell me, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, you came out good. Then they gave me the paperwork for the ALSA, the paperwork whenever you're out. And I'm like, okay, they told me I'm good. And I go through it, and it says I got depression. And I'm like, this mofos didn't tell me I got this? And they just sent me out afterwards? That's messed up.
So that probably depends on what you got it, or what they classified it under. Because if they classify it under like disorder from military, which they should have if you were in the military when they classified you, mm-hmm. you should go to the VA with that, actually. That's a lot of money. Depression, 60%.
Yeah, I was going to say, because like that to me, that sounds like you got depression. Like 95% of other Americans. Good luck with that.
The military's got the highest levels of depression and happens from depression.
Of course.
I mean, come on, man. How can you not? There's so much that happened in the military that just can ruin you. I was deployed during Christmas. I had all sorts of crap happen. Like, there's just so much you can do in the military that we're getting off topic. Anyways,
we are.
Gamma, you should definitely talk to VA representatives. You can get anything if you work hard enough for it.
So with Bar, we have to be careful whenever we hear him hyping himself up, because we know he's going to be popping out his power soon.
Okay, so affirmation therapy or whatever, affirmation words is your price. What about you, Gamma?
I will say I will have to draw something or actually finish something.
Hey, you know what?
Wait, that sounds... Yeah. Oh, actually have to finish something? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm doing stick figures for life.
Yeah, because that's a bad habit of mine. I don't finish stuff. So if the payment is having to finish stuff, I'm going to be like, my biggest power better be worth it if I got to finish
sometimes this. Sometimes they are and sometimes they're not.
Right.
Some abilities do not match their prices. Do you guys remember Havoc's price?
Which one, I'm sorry?
Havoc. The girl that Hay takes and semi-tortures.
Yes. The one that he takes back to Hell's Gate, or she wants to go back to Hell's Gate to get her powers back.
She wants to get her memories back.
Uh huh.
Do you guys remember her price?
I don't remember her price now.
She had to drink the blood of children.
Oh,
that she had to kill them. They had to be dead. Oh. Her power was earthquake. She could make seismic earthquakes of any size. But in order to do it, she had to kill children and eat and drink their blood.
That's
which
dark.
Now you know why she wanted to get rid of her abilities, right? She was ready to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And that's right. And Hay in the beginning, because he's looking for his sister, was mm-hmm. super ready to throw her and get her powers back. She can get her memory back. But then he's like, I can't do this to you. I can't. You're a person. You're trying to be a person. You're not trying to be a contract anymore. You can get rid of your contract powers by just not doing your contract.
So they get their emotions back by not using
the contract. Do, and they lose their powers too. But hers left for unknown reasons. Literally, they were just gone. She wasn't even repressing them. They just went away one day, along with her memories. And she was happy they were gone.
I kept thinking I kept thinking that this was going to come back to that guy whose daughter awakened as a contractor and she was setting people on fire.
Yeah,
comes back to connect with this somehow. I was like, somehow this is connected.
It is connected at the end when they take her back there and then you see the flower.
The flower, exactly.
Yeah. It's all connected because it's one season, but... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved Mai. She was such a good character. I love the big brother, little sister thing. He was taking care of her and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
she had with the Hay. Yeah.
Uh-huh, and then she ends up turning into a regular contractor, actually. She didn't go to full on genocidal contractor.
Yeah. And they took her into the syndicate, I think.
Mm-hmm. I thought she showed up later and gets killed, but apparently I was somebody that looked just like her because this guy apparently uses similar character design. Because there's somebody
actor characters.
He does, yeah. There's because there's a character that shows up later that gets killed during Hay's when he's infiltrating the Heaven's Gate thing at the end because they're trying to kill all contractors, I believe. It's been a while.
Every time we say Heaven's Gate, all I can think about is the cult.
Yeah, I did a video on them, but it's a cool name. Okay, so those are your guys' contract. I didn't think about it for myself, so we're good with that one for now.
I kind of like to think of I do this out loud all the time, Gamma. How have you never noticed?
Because I got so used to like, talking with you that it became normal.
I guess so. The new norm. I was like, my affirmation things I do them all the time and like out loud. Like I remember, like every time that when we're like playing games, I'd be like, "I can do this. Yeah. I can do this. We got this." You know, matter, like, and I'll say it.
As a matter of fact, whenever you say that, "Hey, I gotta," do you guys remember Fullmetal Alchemist that he got a clap in order for me to get hyped? Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, so that's why you clap every time that we gotta record, so you gotta get hyped.
No,
well, no, that's our time syncing.
Yeah, that's our time syncing. Like, you know
yeah,
it works here too.
Which is why it's important that I can hear your clap, because otherwise I have to go looking for where you started. That's a nightmare.
But I don't clap.
I always peek on microphone.
You don't clap?
No, I just let you.
My man, that's... no wonder I can never find it. I was looking up.
The clap is so we can match up our audios. Is
that right? Yeah, it's so that you can match up the audio.
I literally go like, okay, I gotta cut this amount of time, and this is going to be in sync with Bart right here from now on.
No.
That explains everything, because I'm always like, I don't know, like if he's just got like a filter on, but I can never hear the clap, never. Now it makes sense. I was so confused.
Gamma, you ratted yourself out. How could you?
So, with those questions, do you guys have any like standout characters or anything that like you?
Wait, hold on,
we want to know yours.
Contract ability.
What my contract would be?
Yeah,
like what's your price? What's your power? Tell us.
It's got to be something it's got to be at least somewhat related to your past, your personal or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, something I hate that could be done repeatedly.
Eating avocados.
I dislike avocados, so we got that in common.
I like avocados okay. You know, like sometimes their flavor could be a little overpowering. So depending on the dish, it's like, this takes me out of the other flavors. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So I have a deep fear of small spaces, like worse than normal people who have claustrophobia.
Oh.
Okay, so small spaces makes sense. I thought you were going to say small animals.
So
small
no elevators.
I can go in elevators for the most part, as long as I don't get stuck.
Oh.
Okay.
But I was walking around the anime convention, and there were so many people there. I was packed in. I could not escape, and I was almost having a mini heart attack.
Oh, no.
So, like, I it's not the amount of people. It's the fact that I literally could not go anywhere because there were some people crammed in there. We could not go left or right. But
here, folks, next time we attend Podcast Con, give Sacro some space. What are you doing?
Next time. Mm-hmm. We got to put this on Twitch.
Next time, which would also be the first time.
Hey, I invited you guys to my convention where we can hold a booth, basically. Not a booth. We can actually do our own panel. They have panel slots open for people who are small content creators.
Let's do it.
The next one's in January.
I'm in.
So let me know. I can actually book us a spot, but I do have to pay like $100 for the room.
Oh.
Yeah, you get like an hour and a half, and then you just hope people show up. So, you know.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I could talk to my wife. Like, hey, you want to go to California for like a weekend? Let's go.
Yeah, it'd be fun. But so I think like having to put myself in a small space of some kind for an extended period of time would be like my price. It'd be aggravated. It'd be something I didn't like, and logically, why would I do this? Because there's no reason to. The same reason I didn't go on subs when they put me in the Navy.
What would you?
But how would you pull that off in a fight?
By a porta potty?
In a fight, you wouldn't. Usually, you don't use your thing in a fight.
Yeah, you use your pay your price after it's over. So
yeah, so I'd probably have to have a box with me at all times that I'd have to get inside of. It has to be big enough for me to sit inside of.
A locker, or the maybe a whatchamacallit, a luggage bag.
Yeah, or maybe whatever.
A luggage bag. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, it has to be something.
Carry a little wooden box and be like one. The Demon Slayer
Nezuko. Yeah, I thought about that too. Someone carry me around, please.
But wait, what power would you choose, though, like out of all the college actors?
Oh, out of all the ones that... I already listed the guy with the whip, I think is pretty cool. But if I had to, make my own ability, I've been thinking about this for years. Teleportation through fire. So I would disappear through like a burst of flames. Like it would be that like would be flames would just disappear. I literally wrote a whole story about this based on this anime. Did I tell you guys I love this show?
Yes. Yes.
So I used the show's idea. Whenever you said the
teleportation fire, I thought, like, oh, that sounds like something Scorpion will do. Dope.
I was thinking of, like, Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII.
It's kind of based on Nightcrawler a little bit.
Oh, okay, nice. So
not like you can walk into fire and teleport, but
no,
like,
no, I disappear like in flames.
Fire. Flames. I see.
So the idea is the ability is twofold. It's I can use flames, but I can also disappear through them, through teleportation. I wrote a whole story about this, about basically what would happen before this event. It's not the story. I didn't write a fan fiction, but I wrote a story that like the world all of a sudden fell into some sort of chaos and people were given powers. And and then the whole world basically became enslaved to those people's powers.
Nice.
So, and then there was like one person who was like, no, this isn't how it should be. And that was my main character or main syndicate group. Anyways, away from
so
that for now.
Deku without powers.
Deku? Oh, I mean, Deku, the world of My Hero isn't one I actually love based on the way they superheroes work.
Yeah,
I think
didn't
everyone
like
being super is
either.
Good. I'm just not a fan of it.
It's the syndrome thing from Pixar. When everyone's super, no one is.
It's just like, there's not enough normies out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I guess normal people are people who have powers who can't do a whole lot.
More normie than others, right? Like, you know, like there's powers that do literally nothing.
But the normies feel kind of ostracized on My Hero.
Yeah, that's a plot line later. It's just literally just the reverse X-Men.
Right, it's
line.
Reverse X-Men. Yeah.
But it's fine. I heard actually that My Hero's finally over.
Yeah,
because,
it's finally over.
I was on Reddit and I saw a spoiler for all the characters who dies on the front page.
Yep.
Midnight.
And I'm like, how could you ruin this? Like, I was going to watch it eventually, but it just came out. There's
freaking
a rule against this.
The freaking girl that everybody's in love with dies, and then there's a little plot
Midnight,
twist with
yeah.
her. Not Midnight.
Oh, and it was
the girl.
Not Midnight.
The vampire
Toga.
Girl.
Yeah, Toga.
Yeah, Toga.
She's not a vampire. Well, I guess she's kind of a vampire.
Then they tell you the plot twist, like, oh, I became a villain because of this. And then you find out, oh, snap. So she actually would have been a great hero. Well,
dude, like, I swear, like, My Hero Academia is wonderful in the way that it writes villains. I was like, the heroes I could take or leave, but the villains, it's just fucking masterclass in writing. I'm like, this is good.
Do you agree with that with
been
All
used way
for
more.
One?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, but anyway, that's a whole other story for a different day.
Yeah. So I guess we're getting into some spoilers here for a little bit. So Hay's powers actually come from his sister. Hay
called it.
Is not a contractor.
That was
I
the biggest
was
plot twist.
Somehow, I was like, his sister is some kind of Chekhov's gun.
Did you finish the show, Bard? That's the last episode.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's
the
last
episode of season one.
Uh-huh. In the OVA?
No, in the actual
season
show.
Season one?
It explains that Hay is told by Amber that before she basically stops existing because of her really cool power, but also kind of nutty ability. That his sister, before she died, fused her body into his, giving him...
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, her powers. Because she was dying or something happened, and she wanted to be with him always, essentially.
Yeah,
and so
I think
she
that you're
fused
right.
him
she
and gave
dying.
Him his powers. But I don't remember exactly why or how Hay doesn't know that. Maybe because she disappeared when he woke up.
Or something.
I think he was unconscious or something. I watched this... 3-4 months ago when we decided to do this idea.
Yeah.
That's so, how long we've been waiting for this episode.
Yeah, this episode's been planned for a while. I mean, it's basically Sacro Month. We did Oshinoko earlier, now we're doing Darker Than Black. It's like my top 10 animes.
Sacro Month.
Yeah, we're doing your other one next week, too. You recommended that we should watch Frieren, and I got Helix to start reading it, so
oh,
yeah,
okay.
It should be good.
I love Frieren. But you're the one who got me into Frieren, so. Yeah, whatever, Sacro Month.
That's a joke. Yeah, Helix hasn't started reading, but how? But, you
oh,
know, like,
I,
how
I figured.
Cool would it be though?
Helix getting Helix to read things or watch things is kind
of
hard.
It's finally. Just only one season for Frieren, right?
Yeah,
there's only one season of Frieren, so I mean, like theoretically, we could just like watch the first season of Frieren.
It's
cause
pretty
it's
long
really
though.
Good. It's 24 episodes, so
it, oh,
it's
I thought it was 36. For some reason,
is it 36?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's just me miscounting. Anyway,
so it's about the same length as Darker Than Black.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Season one, Free Ren, how many episodes? 28.
Oh, okay. So it was longer than I thought, but it's not as long as I thought.
Yeah, it's longer than I thought, too. I forgot about that.
But yeah, so Amber comes back before we get into like Free Ren stuff. Amber comes back. Mm-hmm. She is a girl from Hay's past, which is a constant thing that's happening. Is Hay has a lot of girls in his past and people just in general, but she shows up
just looking like as Ernesto.
Like bar sexes.
They always show back up when they don't need to be.
All my exes. And hey, I live in Texas. How about that?
Amber shows back up to warn Hay about something that's happening as she's turned into. She's basically pretending to be part of the side that's fighting Hay, but she's there to like actually teach or tell him something because she was in love with Hay like everybody else is.
Right.
But she's actually like he actually had feelings for her too. But her ability is that she can turn back time to make changes to like the world and stuff.
Huh.
But whenever she goes back, she ages down.
Oh, she's like that reverse. Girl.
Oh. Yeah, she's the green-haired girl. Oh, she snap. She shows up and she's like telling this stuff, but she doesn't show up because she's in love with Hay still, but she's also the one who kind of tells him like, "Hey, Yin's your responsibility now. Like you need to take care of her. Even though she's a doll, you can tell she has feelings for you somehow."
Mm-hmm.
Which becomes a big part of season two, which I'm going to talk about in a second as well, because I don't think you guys are going to watch it. Or, well, I guess Game has already seen it.
Yeah.
I might.
You might? Okay, then maybe I won't talk
about it. Yeah, I might.
Okay. Watch Gaiden first. It's the in-between. You don't need to read the manga. You should, but you don't need to.
Okay.
Nothing from the manga except for one character reappears in season two.
Okay.
So you don't need to know anything about that character. He's just there. I guess I kind of told you that America invaded, but that's whatever. It doesn't matter. Random detail. So she shows up. She's reversing time. She's trying to get like, trying to let Hay know like this is what happened. And then she tells him that she's the one who tells about his sister turning, like giving her powers to him, which is why he has them. I don't know why he never thought about why he had his sister's powers before. I think it's because
that would have been like the dead giveaway to me. I'm like, dude,
it's because he didn't. Okay. I remember now. It's because he used only the electric part of his powers.
Mm.
That's not his power. He's able to change molecules at the smallest level by touching things.
Well,
so that's he can change the molecules power of anything. Yeah, it's super broken, right? And he doesn't use it for anything nefarious because he's actually a good person. Unlike her, who literally like vaporized people and like she just did all sorts of things. She was the real contractor.
He could change things to gold very easily.
He turns a nuke off, I think.
Yeah, he did.
That's a good thing to do.
He also stops the thing that was going to just kill all contractors because he still believes that they're people. They can be saved because he's met a few at that point. Right. Also, it would kill all dolls and he doesn't want Yin to die. So, do you guys remember the Yin episode? That was a pretty good episode.
The Yin episode with her her mom and like
her music teacher,
like smooching her piano teacher. Yeah. And then like she ran out into the road and then like the truck.
Yeah, she got isekai'd. Quite wild. Yeah, so she was upset about that because her dad had just died and she was already moving on.
It was actually at his funeral, if I remember correctly.
Uh huh.
Yeah, which is just, I mean, it's a bad look.
So it never explains how she became a doll. It's never explained how any of them become dolls at all. Like, it doesn't even say they just did one day. It just says they're dolls. So the fan theory was that hearing her dad die, then her mom died right in front of her, broke something inside of her, which turned her into a doll. So that would mean that all dolls are heavily broken people that something broke.
Right.
And so she becomes a doll, but she's a different kind of doll for multiple reasons. But that's all in season two, and I don't want to spoil it now because Bard says he's going to watch it.
Yay.
Which sucks. I really want to talk about the ending and what I thought it meant and what it could mean for the future, but it doesn't because there's no future.
See what you did, Bard? No spoilers.
We're doing a new thing now, right? Like we're doing the thing where we vote if we revisit a title. Because there are titles that I noticed, like, and this was on me for like, you know, because initially I was like, yeah, we're just going to read it a little bit at a time. And that actually proves to be a lot more difficult than initially we thought. So now yeah. It's just kind of like we read a whole thing and then we discuss it at length, right?
That's we should definitely, if we're going to do this, pick something and do it a fraction at a time, because I'm not talking about any of the good episodes or any of the main characters or getting really into right. like the meat of it.
Right. And so like the idea is, you know, going forward, you know, we'll like cover like a little bit and then we vote after we've read that. And then like, you know what, we'll talk about this once the recording's on.
Yeah. So yeah, before we like, so at the end, like this is when you find out that Yin actually has emotions. Cause I can't remember what happens, but like Hay's falling through and he's like, basically giving up, he's gonna die, and he's like falling deeper into despair, and it's shown physically through him falling into a hole. And then you look at the top and you see Yin's frame, it's Yin's silhouette, and she's calling for him with her, you know, her monotone voice, like hey. And then she says, and then her voice takes on emotion, it's just, hey, don't leave me alone, I can't be alone. And he pulls himself back up and he like goes back to save her and move on. And then yeah, so it's like a big moment where you're kind of figure out, wait, he's a contractor who's not, doesn't follow the rules exactly. Most of the contractors don't follow the rules. This is for a reason that it's kind of important, but Yin specifically is a doll that's not like other dolls as well. She hides something inside of her that you see a little bit of at the end of season one as well, with how her spirit form, I don't know what that spirit thing's called, changes. It's slowly taking on a different form. Again, season two. And then you're like, okay, well, so Hay got his sister's powers, and that's probably why he's still human and contractor. But it was always supposed to be that way. He was always supposed to get her powers because he needs to, for him to save all contractors.
Right.
Because she couldn't do it. Logically, it makes no sense. It makes sense for her to save herself, but that's it. She probably wouldn't do it. She wouldn't trust herself to do it. She knew Hay would save them all. I don't know how she knows about it. I'm pretty sure Amber must come from the future and like, hey, though, we should probably figure this out before we all die.
Right.
Also,
I mean, that would make sense to me.
Yeah, that's my thought at this point. But she also kills her. She dies. She wipes herself from existence by going back in time one last time. And that's, and she's gone.
Yeah,
and then it's just Hay and Yin.
I have to say that is like one of the most interesting, I don't know, like the most interesting power dynamics is, you know, like every time you use it, you either age or you age backwards, right? This is actually a type of situation that I've seen a couple of times. First and foremost, this was in Doctor Who, kind of, where, you know, like this would have been the 10th Doctor, where he meets River Song and she knows everything about him. But, you know, she keeps kind of like showing up as he time travels. And it turns out that their timelines are heading in opposite directions. So every time he sees her, it's backwards. So like one of them knows the other one more the more they see each other, and one of them knows the other one less the more they see each other, because they're traveling in opposite directions in their own timelines.
Yeah. I never seen Doctor Who, actually.
What?
I never seen any Doctor Who.
Same.
It's
I know what it is. I just never seen it.
I could do like 900 episodes on Doctor Who, bro. Like it is sci-fi of the thickest variety. But
it's the British One Piece.
It is the British One Piece, yes. which I was kind of wondering the other day. I was like, well, what is like the American equivalent of One Piece? And like all I could think about was The Simpsons. But like even that feels kind of wrong.
Also, The Simpsons is finally ending.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah, the final season's either next year or the end of this year.
I didn't know that.
Oh, so yeah, all the stuff that they predict is not going to be seen anymore.
Gamma's like, who's going to tell us the future?
yeah, what is going to tell us the future?
The other one was, I think, is in Invincible. There's a character who, gosh, it's basically like an Incredible Hulk situation. But every time she hulks out, she comes out of it, she's aged down.
We're talking about,
I think I know that character.
The series Invincible that is on Amazon, or yeah, another one?
In the comics.
Okay, yeah, that's so, the same. That's his wife. Amazon.
Yeah.
His wife, when she's broken like that.
Right. But I just think it's an interesting dynamic. You know, like, hey, every time you use your power, you're going to be a younger version of yourself, or you're going to be older. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm like, that's actually pretty dope to me.
I mean, the thing is about her power, too, is she doesn't have to use it. She can age back up and then use it again.
Yep.
She can live forever.
Yep.
That's dope as hell.
As long as she doesn't die.
So. Can I change my power choice?
No, cool.
I like that. Yeah.
You can go back in time, but then you lose like 2 years off. I don't know how she does it, though. I don't know how it works. Again, like anything else, not explained.
Right.
She used it a lot to save Hay back in the day, though, because there's like an ambush that happens that would have killed him. And mm-hmm. She goes back in time to save him a few times and then gives him the intel that would let him know.
Yeah, but let's think about it this way. She goes back in time and she loses years. And she gets younger as she goes back in time. That means
I think
that
she goes back to
parents,
the present, though.
That means that her parents conceive her at different timelines for that to keep happening.
So I think it actually, she goes back into time to a point and then she teleports back to the modern time. So she can go back 2 years, change something, and then she goes back to her time frame
and
younger.
And she just like snaps back. Yeah, it's not like, you know, traveling and you stay there. It's like bungee jumping almost. You know, you come back to the point where you started.
Yeah, so she went back and she tried to make a timeline where her and Hay were in love and not fighting a war, but it just couldn't work.
Mm.
So she had to go back in time again to change that because it ended up with him dying. Because a lot of things she tries to do ends up with him dying.
Oh boy.
She's not allowed to mess with the timeline a lot.
This is the what if episode of Doctor Strange.
Or Supernatural.
Oh, yeah. I remember
her Dean
that.
Dies
that,
a bunch.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
That was such a good episode until it got really sad.
Yeah, until it got really sad, which was weird. But what was I going to say is, like, as a matter of this is just a tangent again, but like Gamma, you know what? You want to know what one of my favorite time travel users in the history of manga is?
Go for it.
You've read it. It's the girl from Chain Soldier. Like, she, because the thing is, this is
okay. You're
so
calling
comically.
Chain Soldier, and I'm gonna go like, oh,
we're
that
about
one, the one that I don't like the American name. Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah,
cool.
he doesn't like the American name, but anyway, the point is, she's just written really hilariously because, firstly, she's super over the top, and her power basically is like, hey, in order to travel in time, you have to strike a pose where your arms are like the arms on a clock.
Oh, yeah, the
and
sister.
You're setting, and the sister, and you're setting the time, and it's like, it's so funny. But the thing is, also, she's like very, very good at using the power, mm-hmm. So sometimes they don't even tell you that she's doing it. Like, you know, as you're reading the chapter, it'll just be like, a bad guy's like taking a shot, and then like somehow like somebody trips.
By the way, viewers, this is a slight spoiler of Chain Soldier in case you haven't seen it.
And then, you know, the bad guy would be like, "Hey, that was supposed to be a kill shot. The person was standing there a second ago. Where'd they go?" And then you'll move to a different chapter where now it's from her point of view, mm-hmm. and you're seeing her fuck with time.
Yeah,
to kind of like save everyone. I'm like, this is hilarious. I love this.
And the only one that I think that got the hint is the sister, because she knows her so well too.
Right. But anyway, that neither here nor there. But
so do you guys? Yes. So final thoughts about Darker Than Black? What are we feeling?
I'm feeling good about it, man. Like, I actually would be 100% down to, like, revisit it on a season 2 episode.
Okay.
Because I'm invested, and the problem is, I know that there's going to be no answers for a lot of things. Because, like, the author that just kind of, like, decided to end it at a place, and I know that it's kind of, like, it is an ending, but it's also not.
It literally changes the entire world, the ending does.
Right. And so I would love it if we had like a very satisfying conclusion to it. And I feel like this conclusion, it's probably not going to be the most satisfying, but it's going to be okay. You know, so I'm like, I'm 100% down to visit it again to discuss season two. And I just want to like just reiterate, I'm like, this is, to me, it's almost like a redemption of like all of the shows that this person worked on that I didn't vibe with, because I feel like this show did it better, which boggles my mind that this show like didn't get any reception almost. It feels like it just kind of like fell through the cracks.
It got like a lot of high reviews, a lot of watch, and then it disappeared.
Yeah, and that's insane to me because it's so good.
Like if you ask like Seiyu, he probably never seen or heard of it because it didn't exist by the time he was old enough to have watched anime.
True.
Yeah. So like, we'll have to ask. But like,
2012 is when it disappeared off of, or 2013 or 14 is when it disappeared off of streaming services.
Yeah, and I remember seeing it around. You know, like as a matter of fact, like Haze Mask, it was like
it's everywhere.
In like early 2000s, like, you know, like whenever you went to anime conventions, you'd see at least like two or three people with a mask.
Yeah, there's even a YouTuber named Hirohei that wears the mask.
Oh, yeah, there is. I'm pretty sure, Blame It on Jorge's icon was Hey as well before he changed it. Something about Mexican people or Hispanic and loving Darker Than Black. It's just a trend. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a pretty good series.
Hispanic people just generally like anime a lot, I've noticed. True. And, you know, if you need proof, all three of us are Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
If you need proof, don't go to Mexico bat-mouthing Dragon Ball Z, or else you can't.
No. Like, me and my sister have this joke that Mexican people love Dragon Ball Z more than Japan does.
They do.
It's true. But Japan also loves Dragon Ball Z. Every time a new one comes out, it knocks everything else off the charts for a little bit.
It does. One of the things that I love seeing is just like, you know, like, oh, these are murals in like Mexico. And you always see like anime characters. Like recently I saw a Frieren mural.
Dude, there is so much Saint Seiya there too.
Saint Seiya, yeah.
Yeah, like, the like Caballero del Zodiaco.
The first anime I watched. It was insane.
Saint Seiya's good.
I don't even remember what it's about. I remember that all of them had like Zodiac powers, yeah. But that's really about all I remember.
Yeah.
They're the dumbest power. There's an episode
where he had like blood in his eyes and he was trying to like make the sign of the Pegasus. Mm-hmm. And
the training for Saint Zodiac is so extreme though that people die just to
gain their power. Very dark. I was really upset when they made a remake of it, and they made it a weird 3D. Like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like, it's a thing that's happening a lot, and I don't know. Like, sometimes it looks fine. Like, Chainsaw Man uses some of that, and Chainsaw Man looks great.
Have you guys seen the dub of Saint Seiya? The American dub?
No.
The dub's fine, but the song?
Spanish.
The song is so good. Oh,
is it like the Flock of Seagulls?
It's Flock of Seagulls, yeah. I ran away. I ran. It's like, I ran. They
played it on Toonami a little bit, and I remember like it was like Flock of Seagulls and I ran, and I was like, really? Like, what's happening?
I remember watching it and being like, because I didn't know what the song was. My mom's walking in, she's like, why is there an 80s song playing with this anime? And I'm like, this is an 80s song? Mom, this song's great. What do you mean?
Is that like, old?
The 80s was great. I'm like,
The 80s was pretty great. I'm not going to lie.
I wasn't there. So it couldn't have been that good.
What was I going to say? That's great. but Gamma, final thoughts on Darker Than Black?
I loved it. It's like I mentioned to Saker, I've seen it before, the whole thing. And this is just
pretty much
memory from what I'm talking about.
It feels very 2010, man. And I like that just brought back memories for me. Like just watching it, I was like,
yeah,
some this is my things childhood. From
back then, I don't think that they'll be able to fly nowadays.
There's like some stuff where they didn't do that I expected them to. Like there's some like almost nudity, which nowadays they would just show it because anime doesn't care anymore. Mm-hmm. But back then they're like, ooh, almost naked. That's cool, right? Like, because they're trying to be edgy.
Those are my favorite parts.
Yeah, that checks out, actually. So, yeah, I mean, if you can get a hold of a copy, if you can find it online, I highly recommend watching it. It's still my favorite. Season 2 is you can watch it or not. It doesn't really matter all that much. But Season 2 does not give you answers that you want. So maybe not. It actually leaves you with way more questions. And you're like, why? And then you're like, okay, sure.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Bar. Since Sacred is putting it this way, do you feel that Darker Than Black will be like Blue Exorcist season one?
No, like, what does that mean? Like,
like the writing is completely, like, the writing went completely off the rails. The story didn't make sense at the end of season one of Blue Exorcist.
No, until they fixed it. By no means. Like, it was very coherent. The thing is, you know, like, it's just a little difficult to follow because they're not telling you the answers. You have to kind of like pay real close attention and read between the lines. So,
do you not like stories that kind of relay their world and stuff through visuals rather than like spoken narrative?
No, I 100% do. Like, so, you know, like, and you guys are going to disagree with me, but One Piece does this all the time.
Well, I did watch the first, second, third. I watched up to like episode 80 something.
Right. So, like, the thing about One Piece is that, like, things that showed up early on, like, later on get a lot more meaning, and suddenly the world feels much more rich, and the lore feels much more vibrant in history and stuff like that. So, there's that. So, I do enjoy it, because it'll be like, oh, well, that explains what was happening here, this and that. But there's a difference in One Piece, where it's a very loud show. And Darker Than Black, where it's more pensive, you know. So like, it's like you're gonna find the answers, and you're gonna see them, but it's almost like you want something to confirm that what you're thinking is correct. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, yeah. One of these is written for like young adults and adults. Like right. One Piece is definitely geared more towards teens and young. Like
yeah, it is.
So there's a difference. There's definitely a difference, but like.
It is a difference of the, what's it called, the target demographic. I agree.
Yeah. I don't think you get stories about a girl killing her dad after turning into a monster.
Right. Or like, you know, yeah, the lady who smokes cigarettes and drinks children's
blood. Oh, yeah, that girl. Yeah. The edgy era was here.
It is definitely 2010s, like super edge, right? But like, it is really good. And I personally would also recommend it. With the idea in mind that this is a title that you're going to have. It's not something that you can just play in the background and hope to kind of like understand. This is a you have to sit and pay attention thing.
Yeah, it demands more attention from you, which might be a little harder. Attention. That might be hard now because attention spans have gotten slightly shorter, scientifically speaking.
Yeah, which is so sad because like this kind of masterpiece, dude, I'm like, this deserves recognition and it's ridiculous.
It's probably just because it's so hard to find now too.
Also, yes.
I know a guy. It's called eBay.
Yeah, eBay.
And it's going to cost you $250.
Well, I was going to say, like, so, you know, firstly, you need to know four guys specifically. You need to know your homie eBay, two guys named Benjamin Franklin, and another guy called Ulysses S. Grant before you can watch this anime. Yeah.
There's also a website that hosts the show in English because obviously it's gone now. And no one, they know about it and they're not going to take it down. It's just there. So that's also available. I don't remember what the website's called.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Do your research, kids. Any final thoughts, anyone?
Good. Good show. Good, yeah. Season 2 still good. I take it back. I actually like season 2. Yin, best girl.
Righto. So, I like Chiaki from episode 1 because, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
dog.
I was there during that message.
So, with that being said, that is it for today's episode, Darker Than Black. Be on the lookout. We will probably revisit this in the future to discuss season 2. Upcoming episodes. Honestly, we have a whole spreadsheet now, and we better like get down to like hammering out the details. Because mm-hmm. This is going to require some talk. Anyway, until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
Later.
Adios!